Even so, as she ground her teeth and watched Molly hurry from the room, the anger ticked away in her chest, threatening to explode. Lucretia gave a haughty snigger, and Alice joined in. Finally, she could take it no more. There was not drawing attention, and then there was standing up for what was right. Because mechanicals deserve to be treated like anyone else. "Listen, you pair of simpering, fat-headed dolts," she said. "If you ever speak to Molly that way again, I'll...
"You'll what?" Alice sneered. "Don't you threaten me."
Lily bit her lip and thought better of her reply, and Alice broke into a horsey smile.
"See, you snotty little runt. You won't do anything, and that's the truth. Just because you're a mech lover, you think you can boss us around. Well, you can't. Now, apologize immediately and we'll forget the whole thing ever happened."
Lily shook her head. "You'll never apologize to Molly, so I'm not apologizing to you."
"As you wish."
Alice lunged at Lily, making a grab for her hair. Lily ducked away, and the girl's hand scratched at her collar, pulling her at her bun. She tried to push back, but Lucretia had joined in with her friend. She'd got a hold of Lily's other arm and wouldn't let go. Alice's long nails raked at Lily's scalp and scratched her ears. There was nothing for it. She would have to retaliate. She swung her bald fist at Alice's face. Crack! Her knuckles made contact.
"I said I was sorry," Lily protested, as the Kraken dragged her down the corridor, pulling her along by the scruff of her blouse.
"Besides, she hit me first."
"Nonsense," the Kraken blustered. "Anyone can see she has the complexion of a bruised beetroot."
"Her face always looks a bit purpley."
"What lies you tell, child?"
On a windless day in July, the smoke rises vertically to the sky. Pastor Johannes Malmberget is rowed out to the island and received by the fisherman come farmer, Hans Barret, the island's rightful owner and head of its sole family. He stands on the landing place his forefathers constructed with rocks from the shore and watches the incoming firing, the bulging backs of the two oarsmen and, behind their black cloth caps, the smiling, freshly shaven face of the priest. When they have come close enough, he shouts,
"Well, well, here come the gentry."
Malmberget clambers to his feet and surveys the shore and meadows that stretch up to the houses in the little clump of trees, listens to the screams of seagulls and blackbacks that honk like geese on every crag along the coast, to the terns and the strutting waders that bore into the snow-white beaches beneath the radiant sunlight. But when he scrambles out of the firing and teeters a few steps along the mole, he catches sight of something he has never seen before. His home on the main island, the way it looks from Barret, along with the trading post and the buildings, the farmsteads, the strips of woodland and the fleet of small boats.
"My word, however pretty it is, I can scarce see the houses."
Hans Barret says,
"Oh, I can see 'em all right." "That's better eyesight than myself then," the priest says,
staring over at the community he has worked in for the last 30 years, but has never seen before from such a novel vantage point. The wooden pew is rough against my fingers. I breathe in the heady fragrance of incense mixed with the perfume of the courtesans sitting at the back of the church. I squirm. The bodice of my pink damask dress, so rigid it pinches, and the neck piece at my throat will surely choke me. I fan myself, but to no avail. The dark blonde curls that escape from under my veil stick to my damp brow. My husband, Paolo Panizza, is on my left, his head bowed in prayer, greasy grey hair hanging limply around his wrinkled face. wed last year at the age of 17 to a widower of 50 summers or more, my future has been sealed before I've even begun to live it. And my heart feels wretched this warm Venetian morning in the year of our Lord 1563. I had dreamed of a true love, such as Petrarch described in his sonnets, those verses I have tried to emulate in my own writing. Movement in the pew opposite, and a tall stranger catches my eye. Dark brown hair flows to his shoulders. His features are handsome, full lips, firm cheeks, and a well-trimmed beard. How tightly his doublet covers broad shoulders, tapering to a narrow waist. He beams at me, and I lower my gaze, a flush creeping up my already hot neck.